Yeah. Surveys from the Southern Baptist. Yeah. And we're not Southern Baptist, but we hang out with a bunch of
them. We don't mind surveying them or quoting surveys from
that's
them.
Right. But surveys from the Southern Baptist say less than 1% up to 1% of the church are willing to share their faith.
Wow.
A whole 1%.
A whole 1%. Yeah, that's terrifying.
More than people are affected by COVID, but terrifying. That's just my opinion. So.
Generally speaking, it's something that most are not practicing, obviously.
Right.
And they struggle to do it regularly. And Dad, you having been in pastoral ministry for 40 plus years.
Yes.
80 years, 150 years. Yeah. However long you've been in pastoral ministry.
It's 1,000 years in pastor life.
You've seen
it's like a dog's life.
It's something like that.
Dogs' lives are, go faster. Well, a pastor's life goes way faster than normal life. So
yeah, I don't even know what that analogy means, but okay.
Hello, and welcome to Rescuing Churches with Stan and Josh Gibbons. This is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, where we exist to renew vision and restore hope at struggling churches across the country. With over 80% of churches in decline and 1,500 pastors a month battling depression, we strive to equip members and encourage ministers to pursue new directions of stability and growth.
Guys, how's it going? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Josh, here with my dad, Pastor Stan Gibbons. Thanks for tuning in and for joining us for another episode of Rescuing Churches. All right, today we're going to be covering a topic that if you're a pastor, a church leader, a volunteer, or just anybody who's been in the faith or church life for any length of time, you're probably well aware of, and that is this dilemma of not effectively reaching the lost.
The rare, rare, rare chance that your church may not be
ever so rare
witnessing to anybody.
We can't imagine anybody
only
that would struggle with
a handful
of
churches this would apply to.
Right.
That your church is actually not willing to go out. Your people are not willing to go out witness.
Exactly.
We'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Let's just all be honest. The vast majority of churches are struggling with this, have struggled with it in the past. Maybe, just maybe. I'm sure that there are some out there that are just knocking it out of the park. You've seen and experienced a lot of this firsthand. With that in mind, you've got a list that you've put together here, the 5 steps to get your church moving toward reaching the lost. And I've read through these. I've got some questions for you. These are real practical and full of some great insights. So let's kind of take them one by one.
Let me lay some basics.
Before we do, you have some introductory groundwork that you kind of want to mention and lay out for us.
Yeah, just some basics of that. All of us as pastors know that evangelism, the fancy word for witnessing,
right,
is critical. The Great Commission, tied to the Great Commandment, are really at the core of what every church is supposed to be doing. So every Christian, even ones that are literally seconds old in their faith, babyest Christian you can find, they have a story about Jesus interacting with them and changing their life. It's a story of salvation, a story of redemption. And the scriptures bear out that every Christian, brand new to their faith, have a story and should repeat that story, tell that story. You got the Samaritan woman at the well running into town saying, "Hey, come see the guy that showed me everything about me. I didn't want to tell him, but he knew."
I've heard you tell that story a few times.
A million times, yeah. So, and the leper, the blind man, John chapter 9. I was blind, then I met Jesus, now I can see. And all of us have a once I was, then I met Jesus, now I can see. No matter how old we are in our faith, we have a story of Jesus that we can tell. And that's the my story
moment.
Sounds
like that elevator testimony you've been.
There's the elevator testimony.
Yeah, pressing on everybody.
And we sing it in the old hymn, Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song.
Oh, yeah.
The old hymn, I love to tell the story, right? So we have a story of our redemption that we can tell if we choose to tell it. But every Christian should also know how to present the gospel, because in the middle of your story, somebody may want to know, well, how do I come to Christ? And you should be able to tell them what Christ did as a gospel presentation, that he died on the cross to save you from your sins, that he was buried 3 days, rose again, 1 Corinthians 15, all our pastors are listening. you know, tuning out as I'm saying all this because they know all the story of the gospel. But the gospel is very clear.
You should make sure you get the theology of the gospel right if you're going
to
share it.
Exactly. And my point is your people need to know how to share the, how to say the gospel, however that's going to work. We'll talk about some of that in practicals in a minute. And then every Christian should learn how to give an answer to his faith. That's a deeper level.
Right.
That's a level where you say, well, somebody's going to question, you know, why do you believe in Jesus rather than Buddha?
Right.
Now I got to do a little bit of a deeper dive.
Yep.
And that you don't run into that very often, though. I can't think of anybody that's ever asked me that, by the way. I have had some people go, you know, how do you know Mormonism isn't the way?
Right.
Or, hey, the Jehovah's Witnesses are saying this. What do you think about that? Now I've got to do a little deep dive, figure some of that out. But for the most part, every Christian should have the gospel and a personal story available at any time. And the church is supposed to equip them to do that. And I'm just going to acknowledge right up front, as a 40 years in ministry pastor, I've not kept that value hot as I should, strong as I should. I've gone over it multiple times. I think I'm making a run at it. A lot of times I'm doing it too subtly. And I've just decided in my grouchy old age that I'm no longer going to keep it subtle.
You being old and grouchy?
Mostly old.
I could never imagine that.
But it's time. It's time to move forward as a church. And I just wanted to encourage pastors that are listening to this broadcast to share this with other pastors. Of course, we'd like to see that improve just for their benefit. But I want to encourage you to let evangelism become at the center of – it's the really the essence of what the church is supposed to become is an is equipped body to go out and share the glory of the gospel of Christ, the beauty of Calvary, and the sacrifice he made to pay for everybody's sins. So that's really what we're trying to get at.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And you've got five steps here that you recommend kind of to push everything in that direction and get the church moving in a direction of reaching the lost, sharing their faith. And the first step in your list is to train. So I want to ask you, what are some good resources? You've laid a couple out here that pastors and church leaders can and should use. What would you recommend personally for them to be able to do this?
Yeah. And I want to say the resource to train is really up to the individual pastor's preferences. As long as it's gospel centered and very based in scripture,
definitely,
you know, don't go get something goofy, but, you know, it might just be as simple as the Roman road. You might just want to take the people in your church and say, I'm going to teach you five verses from the book of Romans that start with our sin, 3:23, 6:23, and work your way through. You know, the believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 9, and thou shalt be saved. That's the Romans road. You can just teach them that. That's a training ground. We've used Willow Creek's Walk Across the Room years ago. It's probably not even out. I don't know if it's even out anymore. We found some stuff in there that we wanted to enhance because we felt like it was a little short on not acknowledging sin to be sin, but mistakes. And that wasn't okay with us. So we just started calling it sin because we were teaching what we wanted to teach from that thing. But it's that Walk Across the Room series is excellent because it teaches people to get out of your comfort zone and shake a hand and share your faith. Yep. And so we did that. More recently, we've used Life on Mission. We've mentioned that in a couple of our other podcasts.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Had our youth pastor, do a deep dive into that book and video curriculum and then share that with all of our church family on a Wednesday night, our Wednesday night church family, and actually make them practice it. And our silent partner who sits at the table with us actually is one of those guys who learned how to share the three circles.
I remember that.
Beautifully share.
Yep.
The three circles, Michael did a great job with that to the point that I could put him in front of our church on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And put him on the spot and make him do that.
And he wasn't the silent partner.
I think that's
a
Lifeway curriculum.
It is. Yeah. The three circles. Yeah. I can drop all that into the show notes for you. And we've done that on a previous episode.
So the idea is to get into find a curriculum you can use and train your people. Just train them to do some training. So think of the military. You have to train your soldiers to get into the field and do their job.
The training is essential.
Yeah. So get their training started corporately. You probably need to do some corporate stuff, but then you need to do some small group. And you can get a little group of people that are interested and put them on the spot and let's go with this.
Yeah, that's
motive.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. And you've got another recommendation here. Maybe even take a church friend out to lunch and share the gospel with them. That's really good. Now, let me kind of pause right here for a minute before we move into the next one and ask you, What about your introverts? I mean, that's all great when you talk about that stuff, and I hear it, and I kind of think, okay, well, that's really cool, and it all sounds nice, but what about your introverts? Because I'm an introvert, and there's people who don't do well with walking across the room.
And the DNA of your introvert came from who? Maybe your dad.
Probably you.
Maybe me.
I'm just gonna blame you.
There you go.
So the people who don't do well with walking across the room or engaging in conversation with strangers, I get that that's what that curriculum is for. How do you work with those folks on sharing their faith with others? Can you be a little specific?
Well, we're gonna get to that really when it comes down to mentoring and challenging, which is at the bottom. So, but the real issue is you take an introvert and put them alongside an introvert. I'm an introvert, so it's easy for me.
Right.
And when we sit at lunch together, you and I, and a waitress that we don't know comes over to our table, I'm going to find a way to have something spiritual, no matter what it is, to ask her about, usually a prayer request. I'm asking her for a prayer request, and that spawns usually a conversation that you or I will have with her about something in her life. And now we've built a relationship, and we have the opportunity to leave a card or some information and return to that restaurant and ask how that's going and build a slow friendship with them to eventually say, we'd really like to share the three circles with you.
Yep.
Like to show you this picture.
Invite you to church or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we've done that before.
But that, all it takes, an introvert doesn't have to be, you don't have to go slap anybody.
Right.
You know, or be the used car salesman that annoys you to death. Yeah. All you have to do
Please don't do that. Be
somebody that's willing to look for an opportunity to meet people that come into your sphere of influence and ask them, you know, something spiritual that starts the conversation.
That's good. That's really good. And then the second step you've got listed here in getting your church to move toward reaching the lost is to model. What exactly do you mean by that?
The church has to model what your goal is. For example, we're starting to do this more frequently. I've got somebody lined up for a couple of weeks from now to do another testimony, but I've had several testimonies right before the COVID hit. Had several people give their testimony of salvation, to let our church taste the freshness of all that. Testimonies of those who have been saved. I also think it's good to give testimonies of those who are witnessing. You know, you're going to feel that in our church here shortly. I've got some young guys that I'm training, and they're making effort.
Yeah.
They're calling me frustrated with a missed opportunity or a botched opportunity.
Right.
But even a botched testimony is good because it says somebody tried.
It says you were trying. Yeah.
And it's okay to try and botch it. It's okay. God's in charge of all the ultimate deal of salvation is in his hands. He just wants us to learn and be willing to share. So, stories about trying to share, even if it goes badly. I like to, you know, collect up guys with me and just as we're walking and talking, I like to ask them to share their faith story and I like to let them hear me share mine. So I model for them. You know, kind of what we're trying to do, so they get a taste for that. And we've talked here pretty strongly as a ministry. We believe in the discipleship model. So this might just be your discipleship core.
I was about to ask that. Yeah, that's almost like a discipleship element there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it could be anybody in your church that's trying to learn.
Sure.
And wanting to learn, they could be fairly new to their faith and not deeply discipled. You just take them and say, hey, I got to run to the store and buy some refreshments for the kids ministry, or I got to go.
Right.
You know, go get some milk for my house, ride with me. And in the way, you're going to bump into somebody in the store or talk to the clerk for a minute or, you know, somebody in the parking lot that you're helping load their groceries. You're going to be able to say, you know, let me just share my faith story with you for just a second.
That's good. That's really good. And then the third one you've got on your list here is minister. Now, let me just ask you, why is this one important in the process for the overall church?
Well, I think as a pastor, you minister to the person you're trying to model and lead.
Right.
And you minister to their specific needs. I think this is where you begin to identify, you know, why does Bob hang up right here? Why does Bob never get to that?
Yeah. Why can he not get past at this point?
Why can't Josh get past his introvertedness or whatever? So
hey, easy now.
Easy. So, but I think it's where you begin to look at you listen to their excuses because that we all have them. And you identify your own with theirs, but you listen to their excuses. You listen to their fears. Mostly it's a fear of rejection.
Right, right.
So now you need to begin to minister into that fear and say, let's talk through the value systems that God's asking us to do something that's hard or fearful. And let's work through whether you think God wants you to do something that's going to be painful and bad or good. You know, you just work through that scripturally, intellectually.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can do it sarcastically if you're at that level with them.
Psychologically.
Yeah, but what I don't want to do is recommend, you don't really address them corporately. That's not a dress down moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's a shepherding moment where you just keep the issue to yourself. What, here's what I'm struggling with. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's a good note for the pastors. And most pastors out there probably know why you shouldn't do that corporately. But for any of our other listeners who are just listening, why would you not address it corporately?
Because you're going to confront somebody and put them down. Right. Right? You're shaming
them.
It
makes a shame moment.
Yeah, it's almost a shame moment in the service.
And they feel embarrassed. And, and it's not the place for that.
Not the place for that. But I have seen pastors tongue lash congregations for their fears. And I don't know that the corporate tongue lashing, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
It's not my style.
Yeah.
I know there are guys that it is their style. So, and that's between them and the Lord. They serve their church in their way.
Right.
So I'm not to judge another man's master. You know, Romans 14, don't judge another man's servant, another master's servant. So I know in my church that tongue lashing, especially guilt tongue lashing,
it's not a good motivator.
It's never the way to get people to do it. I don't want to guilt you into sharing your faith. I want to teach you how awesome it is and what a cool thing it is when somebody finally connects the gospel to their life. Yeah,
the positive is usually the motivator.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And just the fact that you are willing to go past your fears and love somebody into the kingdom is killer.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it is awesome.
Absolutely.
So you're hard on that. It just turns you around. So you got to model that for them a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
Administer it to them.
And then number four on your list here is mentor. Now, what does this look like? And how would you recommend that pastor's mentor? I mean, we just, you know, recorded a great interview with, Brother Jack and, you know, he's kind of a mentor to you. So
big time.
How does this actually play out and what are your recommendations for pastors there?
Well, as a pastor, first of all, you have to model it yourself.
Sure.
And you have to be willing to do it. And you have to keep the value in front of the ones you're leading. And here's where I mentioned earlier in this podcast, probably as a pastor, I've not done this well.
Right.
And so I'm learning. I'm 40 years old and slow as Christmas or slower sometimes. And I'm just trying to learn how to do this better. And I think if in early years of my church ministry here, I had pushed this better, harder and stronger, we would see more success in our ministry life. Doesn't mean we'd be bigger, richer, fancier.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a correction. You're only 40 years old.
40 years of ministry.
There you go. Nicely said.
Did I say I was 40 years
old? You said you were 40 years old.
So I feel 35.
I'm your son, so I'm just making an age point there.
I feel
35. I'm just pointing that out.
Been a good day. I feel 35.
I was like, man, if he's 40 and I'm in my 30s,
40 years of ministry. In my 40 years of ministry, I've really had to learn that this value should probably be higher for me in my pulpit time. And it's not that I'm going to pound everybody with it. So I'm going to constantly lace it into ministry.
Yeah, it should always
lace it into truth because it's the core, one of the core values of the church. So I have to keep the value in front of you often, right? I should make sure we have a regular small group cycle of training for that, of opportunities for that. And then I should do the one to one. I should meet with people individually. Talk with them in before and after church or just meet with them, you know, for coffee or dinner and say, you know, how's your witnessing going? How are you doing with your testimony? Can you tell me your story just across the table? Very low key. Cause I'm not, you know, you don't have to get it right with me.
Right,
you just gotta try.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for me to mentor them towards that.
That's excellent. That's really good. And then lastly, number five on your list here is to challenge. How can pastors practically and specifically challenge their people to share their faith in the community? What would be some specific ways? I mean, you've talked about
this is the pure shepherd moment, right?
Yeah, you've talked about like resources and
a shepherd has to walk with his sheep. One of my favorite books,
Smell Like Sheep. I knew it was coming.
We'll put that in the reference.
I knew it was coming.
Put that in your reference notes for you. Great book for pastors because you're supposed to be with your sheep, hanging out with your sheep, spending time with your sheep. And if you're with your sheep, you smell like them. But this point for me, the final point we're doing today, to challenge the members of your church and the people that are in your core group. I think you do that in the everyday life when you're walking and talking with them. I literally believe you get what you inspect, not what you expect. And so you're going to inspect them all the time with this. I've taken this to my current discipleship guys that I'm working with. If we're riding around in the vehicle together, I'll ask them to repeat their story to me. I'll ask them what their story sounds like and see if they fumble through it or if it's smooth. I'll ask them about the circles. Tell me about the three circles.
And right.
We'll see how they do with that. So I'm actually putting them on the spot. That's the challenge.
Right.
But then as we're out in the test, out in the community, I literally can walk up to somebody and just call them over and say, my friend Ian wants to tell you his story. Can you give him 30 seconds?
Yeah, which is putting them on the spot again.
45 seconds. But it's a way for me to challenge them to say, now's your chance.
Exactly.
You've been balking at this for a little bit, but boom.
Yeah, here it is.
So I think the pastor needs to take every level of that. But
absolutely.
At some point, you have to get the sheep to go out and do what they're supposed to do and challenge them in a way that says, hey, I'll do it with you, but we're going to go do this. And if it's door-to-door in a community, if you're just walking, you know, walk in the neighborhood. We have a neighborhood that we've adopted right down the street from us here at the church, and I try to go walk in there a couple times a week.
Right.
And a couple times I've taken some guys with me. Quite recently, I took a young man with me, and we're just walking up and down the street. And when somebody's sitting on the porch, it's a chance for us to go talk to them. And I'll just, as we're walking up to the porch, I'll go, in a few seconds, I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to say, he has a great story. I want him to tell it to you. And he's challenged. It's on the spot. Can he blurt that out?
Yeah.
I'm there to help him finish it if he can't. But it's a great way to challenge. So I really think as a church and as church leadership, we've got to get way better at teaching our people how to share the gospel, the importance of sharing the gospel and getting the gospel out there. And that comes with training, modeling, ministering to them in their fears, mentoring them one-on-one, and then taking them out and giving them the challenge.
That's awesome. That's really good. Really, really good list. So glad that we were able to get all of that together. And if you guys want to have any of the specifics on that list, just feel free to reach out to us. And we thank all of you for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. We hope you found the content, the dialogue, inspiring, insightful, helpful, encouraging. As always, we really appreciate your thoughts and feedback about the show. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 614 Rebuild. Or you can even call and leave us a voicemail at 601-909-0614. We'll listen to all of our voicemails, and we might even include yours in an upcoming episode.